Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. Be seated. A hypocrite is a person who is not himself or herself on Sunday. I recently overheard a conversation. "I never go to church," boasted a wandering member. "Perhaps you've noticed that, Father Matthew." "Yes, I've noticed that," Father Matthew said. "Well, the reason I don't go is because there are so many hypocrites there." "Oh, don't let that keep you away," he replied with a smile. "There's always room for one more." You know, I have to admit that as I worked on this sermon, I began to think it was going to be one of the most difficult that I've written. And if you've heard me before, you know that I look for a theme or a unifying message in the readings of the day, and I'm sure that's why they were chosen. And eventually, after reading them, I arrived at the following. Let's start with the book of Isaiah. "If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger and wicked speaking, if thou pour out thy soul to the hungry and refresh the troubled soul, then shall thy light spring out in the darkness, and thy darkness shall be as the noonday." So it says, remove the yoke, and your light shall shine in the darkness. Do what is right with pure conscience and true faith, and the Lord will guide you. And then from today's psalm, one of my favorite lines, "The Lord is full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger and of great kindness." Remember, the Lord forgives you no matter what. And from Hebrews chapter 12, "Wherefore, seeing we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace whereby we may so serve God that we may please him with reverence and fear. For even our God is a consuming fire." You know, when I read that, it reminded me of a phrase that's used in the Messiah, which is actually from the book of Malachi chapter 3, which goes like this: "But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap." And it continues, "And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness." This consuming and refining fire consumes everything and purifies. God knows what's in your heart, and through his justice and mercy and undeserved grace, you will be purified. And then finally, from today's gospel, from Luke, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 long years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" And when he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. So the readings led me to the theme of hypocrisy and conscience. And as we are in an election season, I think an understanding of hypocrisy and conscience is very appropriate. So we get the message: cast away the cares of your earthly life and be pure in heart, and let your conscience be your guide. Don't be a hypocrite. The Lord knows all and knows what is in your heart, but he will purify you with his refining fire. I Googled the definition and the origin of the word hypocrite, and I quote from what I found. A person who claims or pretends to have certain beliefs about what is right, but who behaves in a way that disagrees with those beliefs. Also, a person who puts on a false appearance of virtue or religion. And a person who acts in contradiction to his or her stated beliefs or feelings. And then the origin of the word hypocrite was interesting. I didn't know this. The common word actually has a dramatic origin story. A number of different things might pop to mind when we hear the word hypocrite. Now, maybe it's a politician caught in a scandal, or maybe it's a religious leader doing something counter to their creed. Maybe it's a scheming and conniving character featured in a TV soap opera. But it's likely that the one thing that doesn't come to mind is the theater. See, the word hypocrite ultimately came into English from the Greek word hypocrites, which means an actor or a stage player. And the Greek word itself is a compound noun. It is made up of two Greek words that literally translate as an interpreter from underneath. That bizarre compound makes more sense when you know that the actors in ancient Greek theater wore large masks to mark which character they were playing. And so they interpreted the story from underneath the mask. And the Greek word took on an extended meaning to refer to any person who was wearing a figurative mask and pretending to be someone or something that they were not. And this sense was taken into medieval French and then into English in the 13th century religious texts to refer to someone who pretends to be morally good or pious in order to deceive others. And it took a surprising long time for hypocrite to gain its more general meaning that we use today, a person who acts in contradiction to his or her stated beliefs or feelings. Our first citation for this use is from the early 1700s, nearly 500 years after a hypocrite first stepped onto the English stage. You know, I admit, as I read this, I was a bit offended by this origin story. As you, those of you that know me may know that I have spent much of my life acting in the theater. And I took the origin and definition personally. But, like the Greek actor, many of us often choose to wear masks. We behave differently with our family than with our friends, and certainly than with strangers. And this allows us to open up and remove the mask as we get to know people. But that's not the same as being a hypocrite, saying one thing and doing another. Jesus' use of the word is very apropos. I'm sure he was glad I agree with him. The word hypocrite or hypocrites is found 19 times in the New Testament, often used by Jesus as he taught or answered questions. And it's an uncomfortable accusation. It's so easy to fall into the trap of hypocrisy as we watch others or go about our daily life. You know, I recognize it in myself, and I've had to ask for forgiveness often. When Jesus called someone a hypocrite, we know he was right, because he knows what is in their heart. Our problem is that we don't know another's heart. So we need to be careful about assumptions and accusations. But the Bible does give us a pretty good guideline. It's from Matthew chapter 7. It goes like this: every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." So, actions speak louder than words. You know, in my former business life, I often had occasion to do business with people who wore their Christianity on their sleeve, or on their business card, or in their literature, or on their van. And every time I saw this, my first instinct was to grab my wallet, or to beware. But then I'd say to myself, now wait, Jeff, don't assume the worst. Give them a chance. But unfortunately, more often than not, they were the most dishonest people that I ever met. What a sad and terrible commentary on Christianity. And I believe this is why God gave us that still, small voice inside, to help guide us and lead us on the true path. Now, I know that the reference to the still small voice is from 1 Kings chapter 19, when God spoke to Elijah. But I humbly think of it as our conscience, the small voice that speaks to us during times of trouble or indecision, or at times when we think we recognize hypocrisy or any failing in others or in ourselves, but must temper our thoughts, knowing that we also have been guilty. C.S. Lewis describes this inner voice in this way, quote, "Men find themselves under a moral law, which they did not make and cannot quite forget, even when they try, and which they know they ought to obey." So this is what I hear when Jesus calls the leaders hypocrites. They are trying to show how pious and religious they are by explaining the law, and how tolerant they are as they politely lecture others about the law. And actually, there was no law against healing on the Sabbath. But Jesus knows that what is in their hearts, and also what they have done, and he rebukes them. But we don't know what is in someone's heart, so we need to listen to our still small voice and remember, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." My favorite Disney movie is Pinocchio. There are so many good life lessons in that movie, and it features actually a real conscience, Jiminy Cricket. Now, I know you probably can't see my Jiminy Cricket, but here he is. You may remember that JC, see, even his initials sound like God, was appointed Pinocchio's conscience. So I think of my conscience as my very own Jiminy Cricket, perching on my shoulder, whispering in my ear. Perhaps you'll accuse me of thinking like a child, but how about this from Matthew chapter 18? "And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, 'Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.'" So here are the inspiring words from the song in that movie. When you get in trouble and you don't know right from wrong, give a little whistle. Give a little whistle. When you meet temptation and the urge is very strong, give a little whistle. Give a little whistle. Not just a little squeak. Pucker up and blow. And if your whistle is weak, yell, "Jiminy Cricket." Right? "Take the straight and narrow path. And if you start to slide, give a little whistle. Give a little whistle and always let your conscience be your guide." Isn't that great? But how about this for all of us adults in the audience from 1 Peter? "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile you, your good behavior in Christ, may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. You know, I think Jesus is telling us to do what is right with a pure conscience and true faith. We should guard against judging others, lest we be judged. We should pause and listen to that small voice inside us. God knows what is in our hearts, and through his justice and mercy and undeserved grace, we will be purified. Let your light spring out in the darkness. Be the good tree that brings forth good fruit, so that others will truly know you. And always let your conscience be your guide. Amen.